Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. I know I'm not the only one who remembers hearing my parents say to me before I was going out for a weekend away from the family, "Remember who you are. Don't find yourself in a compromised position. Remember who you are. Remember where you've come from." Our lessons today are powerful words of encouragement, reminding us to remember who we are and remembering where we come from. In our gospel that I just read, Jesus is encouraging his disciples and by extension you and me to pray always and not to lose heart. Why? Because he knows how difficult it's going to be to follow him. We're not going to be able to follow him without a lot of prayer and a faith-filled commitment every day to walking with him. And in the epistle, Paul encourages Timothy in his second and final letter, written from a prison cell in Rome. And he says, "Remember who you are, Timothy. Remember who God has called you to be. Persevere. Persevere in keeping the faith." Paul knows what his end is. He's not going to be getting out. But his words of encouragement to Timothy, "Continue, Timothy, in what you have learned and firmly believed, remembering where it came from. Proclaim the message of Christ. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Because the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine or godly teaching, but instead, having itching ears, they will assemble for themselves teachers who are going to preach what they want to hear, going to tell them what they already want to believe. They're going to turn away from the truth of God and turn to mere myths, which will never satisfy." Of course, these words have always been true, but who doesn't feel them hitting home, particularly for you and me today? Indeed, our culture is moving further away from the truth of God found in Jesus Christ and wandering away to all kinds of myths. Myths that are founded upon the human being, the secular humanistic religion of our culture, our society, our world. And they're beckoning us, all people, to come and follow them. Come. Come and follow us. And you know, if we're not careful, we might forget who we are. We might forget who God has called us to be and be tempted to slip into this new religion. You know, it's easy being a Christian in a Christian-friendly world. We just kind of melt into the rest of society. Nobody really has to know that much about what we believe. We all kind of believe the same thing. But now we find ourselves in a world where that isn't going to fly anymore. It's a much less tolerant world to the Christian message of Christ. Now, I don't see it going back anytime soon. So, I mean, we've got to gear up. We've got to gear up. In the words of our new Nobel laureate, Mr. Bob Dylan, the times, they are a-changing. They've been changing, and they are changing, and it's not going to be the same. It's not going to be as comfortable as it once was. But you know, that's not all bad. I think indeed it's going to be a good thing for the church, because in many ways, the church struggles with her identity and her message in times of prosperity and comfort, right? We just blend in. No big deal. Doesn't cost us much. But in times of adversity and persecution, the church thrives. And you can go back and read from the beginning of the earliest church in Acts of the Apostles all the way through. During persecution and during challenge, the church has defined itself more clearly, has grown, and has thrived. And that's exciting. That's an opportunity that we have to look forward to. We need to be clear about what the church's role is in the world. It's not just a club of convenience. It is God's instrument on earth. It is the leaven. It is the yeast. It is the active ingredient of God in the world for the purpose of bringing all people to the knowledge and love of God. To know God's love for them. She is the presence of Christ in the world. And she's been given for the world as the world's only means of hope and salvation. Her role is certainly not to be silent in the face of cultural contempt, but to continue to proclaim the message of salvation in all seasons. I think the years ahead will be very exciting times for the church, because what we have to offer the world will be made even more clear. Paul reminds Timothy that, take heart, Timothy, God is with you. God is present. He is watching. He's paying attention. I solemnly urge you to proclaim that message of salvation even when it's not popular. Especially when it's not popular. Why? Because God so loved the world that He gave Himself for it. And that's what it's all about. It's all about God's love for the world. Bishop Payne, great man in the Diocese of Texas who ordained me, wrote in his book, Reclaiming the Great Commission, which I commend to you. He says this, which I think is very pertinent. He says, for fear of imposing answers. Heaven forbid we have the answer, right? For fear of imposing answers, the mainline church has left unanswered the most important and ultimate questions that Americans are seeking. The church has answers that they've remained silent on. Evangelism is not merely a means of spreading the good news. It is a means in which we live it out. We cannot be Christians apart from sharing the good news. So the more we succumb to a conspiracy of silence, the more we fail to be who God has created us to be. Evangelism is a form of teaching that leads to learning. It's an essential exercise of the Christian soul, which strengthens and enriches and transforms. And that's what we need. And that's what our purpose is. Here at the Church of the Good Shepherd, our mission is to change lives, to share Christ. And that's what we're about. That's what we do. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we seek to share His truth and His presence in this world. Whether the times are favorable or unfavorable. This time of year, we're looking forward to next year and trying to plan and make our commitments for next year's budget of this church. And I sent letters out to the entire congregation. There are annual stewardship mailing with a pledge card in it. And next Sunday is our commitment Sunday. So just a reminder, a pledge card is a non-binding commitment. It's your best estimate of what you are able to commit to God through the church for next year, 2017. A lot of people hold back on the front end and they do a little bit more on the back end if they can, because they think it's a binding commitment. But I'm here to say it's a non-binding commitment. I've got another idea for you. Why don't you stretch on the front end? Do a little bit more on the front end because we need you and your commitment. And hold back at the end of the year if you're unable to make it. If God has not been present to you and things are not coming together, we certainly understand. But that, I would submit to you, is the way we ought to be approaching our stewardship. Step out on the front end and see what happens. We need everybody participating in this, the life of the church. We need your support, both financially and your presence, your prayer, your commitment, so that we can continue to change lives and share Christ in our world today. If not us, who? If not now, when? We are the church. This is what we're called to do and to be. Next Sunday is our commitment Sunday. It's our day that we will bring all of our pledge cards to the altar of the Lord as a visible sign of our commitment. We'll have a very special guest preacher with us, a bishop from Uganda, Bishop Nathan from the Diocese of Bunyara, Katara. He will be offering our message in our Sunday school next Sunday. So I ask all of you to come. We want to show Bishop a great hospitality and be present. Like to have a great turnout next week. And come with your pledge cards, prayerfully considered, and we'll bring those as our offering of ourselves, our souls, and our bodies as a living sacrifice to the Lord. I want to thank all of you for being the Church of the Good Shepherd and for your commitment, all that you do, all that you give, all that you offer to make this place a vibrant presence of Christ in a community named for the body of Christ. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. This time I